They were jubilant, filled with excitement and expectation. This was their first child. At the end of the appointment, they would purchase a photo. They would post it online, sharing the good news with the entire world. But everything changed in an instant. "I can't find the heartbeat," the technician said. It was just a routine visit, see the doctor and get a new prescription and then on to the grocery store. But the reports from the lab said something was, well, fishy. Soon there were more tests, then a phone call, then a referral. They had planned a cruise for their anniversary, but now that would need to be canceled. There was a surgery to be scheduled. She hadn't heard from her son in almost a month. He had been recruited for a new job down south and was keeping pretty busy. So when the phone rang, she was excited to see his number flash across the screen. "Mom," he told her. "Mom, I'm in trouble. I was drinking and I got into an accident. Two people are dead." The world is filled with much darkness. Sometimes we can take the punch, but other times we are knocked right off our feet. As we lay crumpled up on the floor, we call out, "God, where are you? God, where are you?" Maybe you're thinking about some particular situation of your own. "Where are you, God?" you are wondering. So is God with us? Or is this just wishful thinking? Sometimes it feels like we've been abandoned. In today's gospel lesson that Agnes read for us, we find a birth narrative. Now, it's not like those other birth narratives that you find in Matthew and Luke, those earthier narratives that speak about a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, or gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. John's gospel, by comparison, takes a cosmic perspective on the birth of Christ. Jesus is described as God's eternal speech, which existed before anything else and called everything into being. One who has now entered into human flesh and human history as a particular person. This, I think you will agree, is a radical claim. It's a radical claim. While God's word, wisdom, and spirit is often personified in Scripture, nowhere in Jewish exegesis or tradition do we hear of God's word, wisdom, or spirit becoming flesh. Jesus, John tells us, is not simply another messenger or servant of God, maybe like John the Baptist. No, Jesus is God, living and breathing, walking and talking among us, a God who gets food stuck between his teeth and sand in between his toes. The gospel writer tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is, Jesus pitched his tent with us, camped out with us, or in Peterson's words, moved into the neighborhood. The gospel writer tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. This description harkens back to the Old Testament, where taking up residence in a tent and revealing glory is what happened after the giving of the covenant at Sinai and the completion of the tabernacle. The clouds descended, right? Fire roared from heaven. This time, however, the word of the Lord has taken up residence in a tent of flesh, a human being. And like the time in the wilderness, the glory of the Lord is seen again. In those words of Wesley that were just sung for you, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased on earth with us to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel. But why has God pitched a tent among us? Why did Jesus bother to get dirty feet? Well, Jesus is described in the same passage as both light and life. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. As light, Jesus illumines the way so that a nation who struggled for generations to obey God's law, God's instruction, would have a model to follow. Jesus is a living, breathing illustration of how to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and how to love your neighbor as yourself. Without him and his example, we would continue to be groping around in the darkness. But more than simply showing us the way, Jesus has come among us to make a new life and a new beginning possible. As God's Word, Jesus is the one in whom the creative power of God is still at work. We see that in the Scriptures. Jesus turns water into wine, walks on water, opens the eyes of a man born blind, even raises the dead. By trusting in him, his creative power is at work in us. We become a new creation. The one who breathed life into Adam and made him a living being gives us new life so that we might truly be God's children and complete the task we were given at the very beginning, to be God's image bearers. Jesus is light and life. As light and life, he enables us to face and endure the darkness around us. For even when the darkness presses in, we know we are not alone. They were jubilant, and then they were distraught. In an instant, all their hopes had died. But later that week, a friend came around to visit. She sat with them and heard their pain, and she shared with them the experience of her own miscarriage. During that visit, their despair was pushed back just a little. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was angry that he was spending their anniversary in a hospital ward, but more than angry, he was worried. I mean, was he strong enough to make it through this? And who would care for his family if he died? In this moment of anxiety, he opened his Bible and discovered this amazing promise. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Suddenly, lying alone in that hospital ward, this man had a glimmer of hope. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In her head, she was listing all the challenges that her son would be facing. There would be a trial, public notoriety. There would be time in jail. And then there would be a lifetime of guilt and remorse. How could he ever make peace with the fact that his carelessness had taken the lives of two innocent people? These thoughts were swimming in her head as she sat through the church service. This was the second Sunday. She had missed most of the sermon. But when communion was being served, the words jumped out at her. The blood of Christ shed for your sins. Shed for your sins, shed for my sins, shed for his sins. And suddenly, she recognized that a new beginning was possible. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Gospels don't deny it. There is much darkness in the world. But thanks be to God that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In Jesus, God has camped out with us. God has moved into the neighborhood and joined us on this journey. We are not left on our own, for Emmanuel, God is with us, bringing us light and life. Thanks be to God. Amen.